Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
Our heat index already up into the upper 90s across the Triangle area. We'll climb into the triple digits, but only a few days left. I'll show you when a cold front will come and cool us back down.
And only a few days left until the end of the federal eviction moratorium. We'll have more on the help available right now for families in danger of eviction.
And this is a live picture from Tokyo, the Olympic flame lighting up the night sky. Your top Olympic headlines are coming up, including the winner of the women's gymnastics individual all-around.
And I'm Brian Schrader in the WRAL Live Center. Some breaking news. It's been a rough morning for dozens of businesses in our area. We had an internet outage that affected 67 businesses, we're told. That's according to our IT engineers here at WRAL. We were one of those businesses affected. We were without internet for a couple of hours this morning. These were all customers of Lumen Internet. It all was restored in the 11 o'clock hour, and it looks like things are back to normal. Back to you.
It feels like it. Keeping our fingers crossed. We do know it's another afternoon of hot temperatures on the way today. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. The heat index will be the big story today. It'll be in the triple digits later. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at how it feels now.
Oh, that's right. Look at this. Here's a look at Lake Gaston. Don't you want to be there? This is a look from the Point Restaurant. And boy, you almost want to be in the water. It's probably hot just being on a boat out there. Our heat index is going to climb most likely to 100 or so by the time we get to 1 or 2 o'clock this afternoon, and potentially on up to around 103, 104 this afternoon. Not likely to have much of a chance for thunderstorms, just kind of broad brush, a 20% chance starting in a couple of hours all the way through the evening. Our chance is a little less than it was yesterday, but it's higher tomorrow as we get back to a chance for some scattered thunderstorms as a cold front comes through. I'll show you who is under a level one risk for tomorrow already coming up. We hit 95 yesterday for the first time this year. Most likely we'll hit that again today. And again tomorrow before our cold front starts to cool things down. I'll show you how far below normal our temperatures will get next week coming up.
And back here in the WRAL Live Center, big breaking news that will affect a lot of people in our area. SAS is getting ready for a public offering to sell stock to the public. They're hoping to do this in 2024. That news was announced this morning. We're updating that story right now at WRALTechWire.com. It comes a couple of weeks after talks with Broadcom about a possible purchase failed. And now this word coming this morning that they are getting ready to go public. No word on how much stock would be offered in that. Of course, that Cary-based global software and analytics company has been privately owned since 1976. Billionaires Jim Goodnight and John Saul own that company. And again, getting ready for that public offering. Huge news that will affect a lot of people. And you can read more right now at WRAL TechWire.
Thanks for the update, Brian. In just a few hours, Governor Roy Cooper will have an update on COVID-19 across the state. This comes as key metrics hit highs we haven't seen since February, and the CDC has revised its mask protocols. WRAL's Adam Owens is live in Nashville, Nash County, where the governor is expected to speak with a preview of today's update.
Yeah, Jeff, he spoke not too terribly long ago. He was touring this drive-through vaccination clinic here behind me when he confirmed for us that he will be making some big news in just a few hours. He says COVID is spreading fast in our state. He acknowledged the frustration on vaccination levels to combat the virus. The governor says he will be announcing an executive order later today during a planned coronavirus briefing. During a tour of this drive-through vaccine clinic here in Nashville, he says he'll discuss new CDC mask guidance. The CDC now recommends even vaccinated people wear masks indoors in places where the virus is surging. And here in North Carolina, that is a majority of the state. He also says he will be talking about ways to encourage people to get vaccinated. But what that would look like, he did not provide any details at this moment. He says we will hear more about that at his briefing a little later today. And I asked him specifically, Jeff, about the possibility of mask mandates. He tells me that, again, we will get more details a little later this evening in that coronavirus briefing scheduled to take place at 3 p.m. And you can be sure we will be there. Back to you.
Well, certainly, Adam Owens, live in Nash County. With COVID-19 cases on the rise in our state, several communities are also opening vaccine clinics to help you get protected. In Durham, the Durham Academy is hosting a walk-in clinic on its campus from 4:30 to 6 p.m. this evening, and Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson doses will be on hand there. In Moore County, the health department is holding a vaccine event at West End Presbyterian Church from 3 to 6 p.m. No appointment is needed either place.
Local news coverage of the Tokyo Olympics brought to you on WRAL by your Carolina Ford dealers.
We have the results of this morning's women's gymnastics individual all-around competition. And if you do not want to know the result, go ahead, mute your TV right now. And when you see me back on your screen, it is safe to unmute. Suni Lee and Jade Carey represented Team USA in the individual all-around. Lee nailed her uneven bar set and hit her floor routine, winning gold. She's the first Hmong American to compete for Team USA and now to win gold. Her parents immigrated from Laos. Her home state is Minnesota. Lee's first place finish makes it five straight for the American women in the all-around. Jade Carey took Simone Biles' spot after she withdrew to focus on her mental health, and Carey finished eighth in the all-around. Two NC State swimmers are headed to the men's 100-meter butterfly semifinals tonight. Niels Korstange was first in his qualifying heat this morning. He represents the Netherlands, and Noah Ponte finished second in his heat. He swims for Switzerland. Police departments across the country are struggling to keep officers and find replacements. Tonight at 6, WRL Investigates sits down with a veteran Raleigh police officer who feels staffing levels in the capital city are approaching dangerously low levels. His message to residents and the incoming chief tonight at 6.
A Cary triathlete already has one Olympic medal for her suitcase, and she hopes to make it two. Katie Zafiris won bronze in the triathlon Monday individually, and she had a couple days to let that sink in before getting ready for her next event, which is the mixed team relay, a brand new Olympic event involving two women and two men who each do a mini triathlon. She took a break to talk with us this morning about preparing.
We're really excited. USA we have a really solid team put together, and tomorrow we go and check out the course for a bit, and then Saturday morning we race.
Katie will race Saturday in Tokyo. That translates to 6:30 p.m. tomorrow here, and she says she looks forward to celebrating with her family when she returns to the U.S. As for that bronze medal she won individually, she says that will likely go on the mantle for now.
An athlete with North Carolina ties is among the first to compete in the track and field events today. Kenny Selman is representing the U.S. in the men's 400-meter hurdles. He ran track at UNC and won two ACC championship titles in that event. Here's your Olympic medal count update. Right now, Team USA in the lead with an overall medal total of 38. China coming in second. Number one, though, when it comes to gold medals with 15. And Russia taking the third spot at this hour. We're continuing to follow the SAS IPO announcement. SAS is consistently ranked as a best place to work. To learn more about the impact to employees from SAS's announcement, we are joined live by WRAL TechWire's Rick Smith. Rick, any immediate impacts to employees from today's announcement?
Well, you just mentioned the big news for local employees is going to be the chance to, for the first time, own stock in the company. That's huge. They're going to get a chance to share in the wealth of the company beyond salary and very generous benefits. It's a great place to work, as you reported. But this makes it even more exciting. It gives employees a chance to build more wealth. And it also, I think, is going to be a big boost for morale, given that 2 weeks ago, when it looked like Broadcom might be buying the company, I was told that morale really dropped. That's why one of the reasons Jim Goodnight came out and said the company's not for sale, because the reaction was so strong. Now with this move, employees have another reason to be excited.
Yeah, literally, they get to buy into this company. Co-owner Jim Goodnight says SAS is readying for this IPO by 2024. What does the preparation for a launch of something of this size look like?
Well, it's going to be a very complex, legally intense task for Jim and John Saul. And I believe in the near future, you'll see them either bringing in some executives with IPO experience because it is so complex and costly, or they'll bring in outside consultants to help them get all the legal work in place. This is not easy. Bob Young, 20 years ago, when he took Red Hat public, said, don't do it. So that's how hard it was for him. So Mr. Goodnight and Mr. Saul have their work cut out for them, in addition to the day-to-day operation of the company.
Well, thanks for your in-depth reporting on this. Rick Smith joining us via Zoom from WRL TechWire. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
Next at noon, a back-to-school vaccine blitz planned for this weekend. We'll tell you where and who is encouraged to get the shot.
Also, GalaxyCon is underway in Raleigh. How will it affect you even if you're not going?
Plus, federal economic relief programs are starting to expire. What that means for renters and homeowners.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Sad story just in the WRAL Live Center. A Special Forces soldier based at Fort Bragg has died during dive training. This is Staff Sergeant Micah Walker of Payton, Colorado. He died Tuesday while training at the Special Forces Underwater Operations School in Key West. He was assigned to the 2nd Battalion 10th Special Forces Group at Fort Bragg. And Staff Sergeant Walker leaves behind a wife and three children. Back to you.
Anxiety, depression, and burnout all increased among college students during the pandemic. That's according to a survey by The Ohio State University. In the survey, it was noted that 9% more students took the initiative and started seeing a mental health counselor to cope. The results of this survey come as college students across the country prepare for the start of what will be another odd year, it seems. As students across the country prepare to return to school, a new study reveals which students are more likely to be bullied. Students revealed that being an ethnic minority made them more vulnerable to bullies. Sexual orientation, religion, disability, and immigration status also put children at risk. Researchers hope the study will lead to better education, awareness, and anti-racist practices in schools.
Right now, just one in four students across North Carolina ages 12 to 17 are fully vaccinated against COVID-19. An event happening this weekend aims to change that. Wake Med is hosting a back-to-school blitz, offering first dose Pfizer shots this Saturday and Sunday. Second doses will be available in 3 weeks. As the hospitalizations and new cases rise, vaccinated people are pleading for more people to get their COVID shots.
I just really hope that they will make that decision, not just for themselves, but for me and my friends, because, we have people that we want to protect as well.
The back-to-school vaccine blitz is happening on Saturday at Wake Med Hospital on New Bern Avenue. There's a lot of information there on your screen. We have it posted to our website, WRAL.com.
In less than 2 hours, GalaxyCon gets underway at the Raleigh Convention Center, the first big event at the venue since the pandemic. WRL's Brett Neese explains how this event could affect you even if you don't plan to go.
From Star Wars to superheroes to even Ghostbusters, if you're in downtown Raleigh this weekend, you might see a lot of different costumes with people dressed up for GalaxyCon. And with its return this year, organizers are going to be asking people to wear face masks. They also have a lot of other protocols in place to protect attendees from COVID-19. That includes intense cleaning inside the Raleigh Convention Center, less people, and more space between vendors. While they will be asking people to wear face masks, they won't be requiring them.
We're suggesting strongly that people wear masks. We'll be
You're not making people wear masks.
No.
Okay.
But we, on our website, on our social media, we are strongly suggesting people wear masks. Our staff, our volunteers will be wearing masks. We'll be giving them away at the front desk.
Organizers expect about 22,000 people across all 4 days for GalaxyCon this year. That's down from 2019, whenever they had over 38,000 people here in downtown Raleigh. And take a look at this. This is the U.S. Army eSports truck. They're out here. They're ready to go. A lot of vendors and volunteers are already setting up. They've been here since about 8 a.m. this morning. All the fun gets underway at 2 o'clock. In Raleigh, Brett Neese, WRAL News.
And it was about an hour ago that cooling stations in Wake County reopened. The locations right here on your screen on this map will be open till 5:15 tonight. You can also get relief by visiting a Wake County library. Check for their times as well. It seems like perfect timing out there because heat is on this noon, Elizabeth.
It is. Our temperature already feels like 97 degrees. That's our current heat index. It's going to feel like 100 to 104 across our area this afternoon. And then here comes a front that will help us out. It will bring us a chance for some strong thunderstorms, though, Friday. So tomorrow, especially late in the afternoon and the evening, we do have a level one risk for severe storms for part of the viewing area. I'll show you who coming up. A cooler weekend, though. And, oh, that's going to be fantastic. Bright, sunny skies there in Durham as we take a look at the deep app right by our Durham newsroom. That sunshine bringing our temperature up to 87 in Durham. It's 85 in Fayetteville, 85 in Clinton, and 83 degrees in South Hill. That heat index, as I mentioned, already 97 in the Triangle area, as well as Southern Pines and Clinton. It feels like 93 in Fayetteville, 91 in Rocky Mount, and 88 in Goldsboro. You might say, well, wait a minute. Why is it almost 10 degrees hotter in Raleigh than it is in Goldsboro in terms of the heat index? It's just where we have pockets of humidity right now. The humidity is a little bit lower in Goldsboro than it is in Durham and Raleigh. But as we head through the afternoon, get a little breeze blowing around, everything will likely even out. We take a look at our actual high temperature, potentially 95 in Southern Pines and Raleigh, 93 in South Hill, as well as Rocky Mount and Wilson. Our potential heat index, of course, up in the triple digits, could be 104 this afternoon in Clinton and Fayetteville, 102 in Rocky Mount, and 103 in Durham. So it's going to be another day. You just need to lay low and stay inside. We're going to see this again tomorrow, and then it's all going to change. Pretty dramatically, too. This cold front is going to come in and help us out with that. Notice that that cold front's still pretty far to our north, so we're going to have to give it some time to get here. Here's a look at Futurecast for tomorrow. We'll see increasing clouds. We're going to see that cold front dropping in on us from the north. And by the time we get to 3 or 4 o'clock, we start to see some isolated storms popping up. Now, yesterday, the computer models were not showing a lot of activity for us, and we ended up with some severe storms. So don't let this fool you. Even though it looks like maybe there's not a lot of coverage here, it does look like the conditions could be right for some stronger thunderstorms, especially during the afternoon and evening, and mainly from the Triangle area eastward. So we're talking about Wilson, Goldsboro, parts of Edgecombe County, Sampson County. Those are the areas that would have the best chance. Here's a look at that as we put it into motion. Our cold front starts to sink southward during the afternoon on Friday. It moves south, opening the door to some gorgeous weather on Saturday. But then this low starts to ride along the front, and that's going to bring us some wetter conditions on Sunday. And then that front's just going to kind of hang out to our south, kind of moving back and forth, helping to continue to bring us some humidity and some rain on and off as we get into next week. Here are some numbers to go along with that. Today, 20%, 30% chance on Friday, 10% on Saturday. I mean, Saturday looks phenomenal. Sunday, we're back up to 50. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, it just kind of goes back and forth between 40 and 50% chance. So today and tomorrow, we're dealing with the heat. I would advise you just to lay low. I really wanted to go on a bike ride yesterday, and I just said, nah. Can't do it. But Saturday, 87 degrees with fairly low humidity. It's going to feel much nicer. And then we'll drop it even more with our temperatures Tuesday and Wednesday on down into the low 80s as we get into the middle of next week. I'll show you how long that may last coming up.
Here in the WRAL Live Center, getting reports of a power outage in downtown Durham. Durham police just tweeted that traffic lights are not working at several intersections downtown, and they're asking people to avoid that area if possible. We're working to find out more about the nature of that outage. Back to you.
Thanks, Brian. This afternoon, President Joe Biden will outline new rules for all federal employees to stop the spread of COVID-19. In our next half hour, we'll have a preview of the new plan to combat the pandemic.
Plus, an underdog is making its way to the forefront of the streaming wars. Time for a look at what's trending.
U.S. pole vaulter Sam Kendricks will not compete in the Olympics. He tested positive for COVID-19. As a precaution, all 63 members of the Australian team were also forced into isolation because three people on that team had interacted working out with Kendricks. They have since been cleared to resume normal activities. Kendricks' dad, who is also his coach, says his son feels fine and has no symptoms.
But because of that positive test, he is out. You know, he was the bronze medal winner in Rio in 2016. And the alternate, Matt Ludwig, for the pole vault, he is at the Cleveland airport right now. Just saw a tweet, and he's trying to get to Japan by Saturday morning. That's when the competition is.
Good luck.
Well, this morning, two-time Olympian and actor Gus Kenworthy takes us to the pool in Tokyo for the men's diving competition.
He shares his emotions as he watches one of his best friends compete and win gold.
My name is Gus Kenworthy. I'm a professional free skier and Olympic silver medalist.
Let's touch the sky.
Now, for the first time ever, I'm coming to a Summer Games. This is Freestyle with Gus Kenworthy. What's up? We are at the Aquatic Center, and I am so excited because my friend Tom Daly and his teammate Maddie Lee are competing, so I am rooting for them, and I am so excited to see who takes home the gold.
Tom came out publicly in 2013, and his story is one of the things that gave me the courage to do the same thing 2 years later, and we've been friends ever since, so I might get a little bit emotional watching this. I'm really invested in it.
China's the last team to go. They're in second place at the end of the last round. It all comes down to this. Oh my God, I don't know, it was really good.
101 points for Daly and Lee. Did the Chinese team better that with that dive? No, they don't!
Oh my God, they won. They just won the Olympics. Oh my God, I'm so thrilled for them.
Oh, they were good, that's for sure. Back here in the Triangle, there's only one full-time fencing facility in Durham.
Kids come in here to try something new. Maybe they want to do an individual sport that's, you know, doesn't involve a team because they want to be responsible for their success or failure.
Tonight on Olympic Zone at 7:30, I'm going to head over to Research Triangle Fencing to learn how to duel. I'll also explain how the locals are participating there in that sport that's been part of the games for over 100 years. There aren't many Olympic sports that you can actually do and actively participate in. This is one of them.
And you suited up and you had a sword in your hand. And
don't be jealous. I've got the sword.
Well, you can get ready for the 2024 Olympics. You saw your journey right here, started here.
Feel the dream coming true. Thanks. The Biden administration ramping up vaccine efforts right now. What we know about the plan to increase vaccine rates in the country.
Plus, a firsthand look at the state health lab where variants of the coronavirus are studied. What they've learned about the variant's impacts in a peek that you'll see only on WREL. Here are the winning lottery numbers. Carolina pick 3, 2, 3, and 4. Pick 4, 0, 2, 8, 2. Carolina cash 5 was a double draw. First set, 10, 23, 29, 30, and 32. Second set, 14, 16, 29, 31, and 34.
Number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
Certainly been a lot of discussion recently about the rise in coronavirus infection rates lately.
And we have new numbers from the state just into the WRAL newsroom. Brian Schrader is tracking all that data from the WRAL Live Center. Brian?
Just got these a couple of minutes ago. Yesterday at this time, we were reporting about 2,600 new cases. That was the highest that we had seen since late February. The most recent update, more than 3,200 new cases reported in the past 24 hours. And we now have more than 1,100 people hospitalized with COVID-19 in North Carolina. We do not have an update yet on the number of additional deaths that we have seen in North Carolina over the past 24 hours. And as we take a look at the latest numbers with vaccination, 61% of the adult population has received at least one dose of a vaccine. 57% of the adult population is fully vaccinated. Back to you.
Brian, thanks. The federal financial relief programs aimed at minimizing the economic impact caused by the pandemic are now starting to expire.
And lawmakers are not focused on extending them again. WRL's Matt Tallhelm joins us live outside the Wake County Justice Center with what this means for renters and homeowners. Matt.
Yeah, Jeff and Renee, the courts are getting ready for an uptick in those cases when that eviction moratorium ends in just 2 days. Now, if you're a renter and you get one of these, it is a complaint in summary ejectment. That's the official term for an eviction filing. This is what you'll see. In Wake County, you'll go to the courts and you'll get this whole packet. It includes the tenant's rights and obligations. It's in English and Spanish. It'll walk you through this process. Wake County courts have already seen an increase in filings for evictions from May to June. They saw a 40% increase. That's when the moratorium was originally set to end, you remember, back on June 30th. Then the CDC extended it by a month through this Saturday. The assistant clerk of court tells me landlords are already filing evictions before the moratorium ends, knowing it will take 10 to 14 days to get a court date in Wake County.
We are expecting a small rush to go to the courthouse, but we're not expecting too much just because we already have people, a lot of people already filing for the evictions, being prepared for the moratorium to end.
Wake County is opening an extra courtroom even to deal with the expected increase in these eviction cases. We also took a look at the numbers in both Johnston and Durham counties. In Durham counties, between Durham County between May and June, there was a 37% increase in eviction filings. In Johnston County, that number was a 55% increase as they get ready for that moratorium to come to an end. Jeff.
All right, Matt Tallhelm, thanks for that reporting live in Raleigh this noon. Thank you.
Emergency actions in the fight against COVID. Every day this week, President Joe Biden's administration has made moves designed to make a dent in this pandemic. Britt Conway reports today will be no different.
Is the president confident he can get the unvaccinated to change their minds?
We have to.
And he's pushing to do just that. Monday, news that vaccines will be required for healthcare workers at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Tuesday, new mask recommendations from the CDC for people who live in areas with substantial or high transmission of COVID-19. Right now, that's more than 75% of the country. Starting Wednesday, the White House asked all federal agencies to require masks indoors in those areas with substantial or high transmission. And today, the president will lay out his next steps to ramp up vaccinations and take down variants. He's expected to announce new guidelines for federal workers. Officials say they'd be required to share their vaccination status. People who aren't vaccinated wouldn't be let go, but they would have to wear a mask and submit to regular testing. And there could be additional requirements at some point. But none of this is expected to be imposed on the U.S. military. And sources say the Department of Justice is also weighing the legality of companies requiring employees to get shots. A number already have, including Google, Facebook, Netflix, Saks Fifth Avenue, The Washington Post, Lyft, and Twitter. And the list is growing. I'm Britt Conway reporting.
A coronavirus story you will see only on WREL. We are able to identify strains of the virus because of work being done at the North Carolina State Laboratory of Public Health. This is a look inside the lab in Raleigh. And right now, researchers are tracking the Delta variant and detailing the genomic sequencing process that allows them to learn more about the virus.
The whole goal of the virus is to change, to help, you know, to help it be more effective at doing its job, which is to infect us. So variants are going to emerge. And the key there is to make sure that we have enough people covered with vaccines to help prevent infection, which ultimately results in expanded variants.
Researchers are keeping a close eye on other emerging variants, including the Lambda variant. It has shown up in 6 times in testing facilities in North Carolina.
Today at 3 p.m., Governor Cooper and the state task force will hold a briefing. It comes as coronavirus cases surge in North Carolina and the CDC revises guidance on masks. You can watch the briefing live here on Fox 50 and on our digital platforms. Dollars approved by Durham voters back in 2019 are finally being spent. The process has just started to tear down a public housing complex and replace it with new units.
Using money from the $95 million affordable housing bond, WRL Durham reporter Sarah Kruger spoke with the Housing Authority CEO about those plans.
It will be a years-long process to tear down the Liberty Street public housing apartments in downtown Durham and replace them. That process has now finally started.
As we talked about lots of times, our housing is old, it's falling apart, and this gives us a chance to rebuild those communities in a way we'd all like to see.
Durham Housing Authority CEO Anthony Scott says demolition will start next month and construction right after. It will be done in phases over years. The first phase will cost about $20 million. $2.5 million of that is from the bond. The rest from bank financing and tax credits. The new units, he says, will be notably different than the old.
It's a mixed income community, so it will have wide ranges of folks that will be living there, from public housing residents to market rate residents. So you're going to see all the typical amenities you'd see in any other housing development. And when you look at the plans, you'll see great open space, you'll see other amenities, you know, play areas, there'll be a, you know, gym, all the kinds of things that you typically find in an apartment community here in Durham.
Sarah Kruger reporting there. The DHA CEO told her that they are committed to and required to keep the number of public housing units in the downtown core the same or greater than what they now have. So they'll be adding new public housing units in some new construction buildings downtown. In some cases, they've already done it.
Local news coverage of the Tokyo Olympics brought to you on WRAL by your Carolina Ford dealers.
Proud to tell you this, a North Carolina teen is making history, even though she didn't qualify for the finals in the women's canoe slalom. Evie Liebfarth from Western North Carolina competed in the semifinals. It was 1 a.m. this morning. She came in last place. That was not her goal. Trust me, hopefully we'll see her around for several more years. She's only 17 years old, the youngest person to compete in that event. Liebfarth is also the first woman to represent the U.S. in the canoe slalom, which made its Olympic debut in Tokyo. Evie plans to attend Davidson College.
And here in the WRAL Live Center, we have some more great news about a local Olympian. Claire Curzan from Cary has been selected to compete in the USA Women's 4x100 Medley Relay Team. She's going to participate in the preliminaries tomorrow morning, which is going to be tomorrow morning our time, Friday evening Tokyo time. Still not sure if she's going to be swimming in the finals Friday evening. Just have to wait to see how that plays out. The U.S. women are going into this as a favorite for the gold medal, and all the participants on the team, both in the preliminaries and the finals, will get a medal if the team wins. Back to you.
Brian, thanks. WRAL is your Olympics headquarters. We are tracking 40 athletes with North Carolina ties throughout the Tokyo Games. You can see all of our coverage so far on WRALSportsFan.com. Prices on things we buy every day keep climbing in this pandemic. The reason your cup of coffee is going to cost more can be traced to Brazil.
Plus, two easy things you can do right now to help prevent your cell phone from being hacked. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, you can click Report It in the WRAL News app.
Adding extra cream and sugar won't help make this news less bitter. Severe weather patterns are dramatically affecting this year's coffee harvest, causing prices to soar. Ashley Strohmeyer looks into the changes.
Bad news for coffee lovers. The price of your morning cup of joe is going up. This caffeine catastrophe is all due to the extreme drought and colder temperatures devastating Brazil, the world's largest producer of Arabica coffee beans.
Suddenly, in one night, you lose everything.
With the worst drought in roughly a century, killing as much as 70% of the coffee crops in some areas, farmers are struggling to harvest enough beans to meet global demand. It's causing the cost of Arabica coffee beans to rise by the highest amount in 5 years.
We were counting on this coffee harvest to help us. It hit us by surprise, and we found ourselves with no resources.
But besides a lack of rainfall, a vicious cold snap is proving catastrophic. This footage shows the aftermath of a massive hailstorm striking southern Brazil Wednesday. The weather has taken such a devastating toll on many of the plants that experts say there's no hope in saving them.
A falta de água.
With the water shortage, the reproductive part of coffee didn't grow. It was already affected a lot, and now, on top of that, there was frost. Unfortunately, most of the town is affected. Many of the trees can't be saved, and the only option is to destroy them.
Ashley Strohmeyer reporting there. Starting tomorrow, Disney will require all guests, regardless of vaccination status, to wear face coverings in indoor locations at Walt Disney World Resort in Florida and the Disneyland Resort in California. The policy change comes as COVID cases continue to surge in the U.S. Children under the age of 2 are exempt from this mandate. And YouTube, as a strong contender in the almighty streaming wars, Google owned video sharing platforms, closing in on top services like HBO Max, Disney Plus, and Netflix. Some analysts see YouTube setting or passing Netflix in ad revenue.
It's the most sought-after device by hackers, and you hold it in your hand every day. The actions you can take right now to keep your information safe. FBI tech detectives in the making. Why some teens are spending their summer learning about cybersecurity threats.
The FBI is hosting a camp for students who want to get hands-on training in a field that is growing more and more critical, cybersecurity. Amy Lewis explains the vital lessons these teens are learning.
Yeah, it's just fascinating. I can't really put like one specific reason why. I'm just interested in it.
Robert Welsh just graduated high school.
I think the special agent would be a good fit for me.
But he's back in class this summer chasing a dream.
My very first inspiration was like the cliche movies and stuff. And I know it's like not how it's portrayed, but I still like take an interest in their role. And I've always wanted to like take like sort of a helping people role.
Can't get it on the next try, you have to give me $5.
And Welsh is well on his way here in a first of its kind FBI class.
You know, they wouldn't have an opportunity in the future to come into the FBI field office. So it's something that we really encourage them to come here and have that experience.
From social media geo-tracking to phishing attempts, this cybersecurity teen boot camp teaches vital lessons in an ever-growing tech world.
When I first created the course myself, I have version 1, and I'm up to version 15.
To make spotting the threat just as easy as staying connected.
Having them look at their devices and seeing how they can protect their information, that also grows or leads into protecting their school, their organization, or maybe even their work down the road.
If you're like most people, you probably can't live without your cell phone. Experts say cyber criminals are finding ways to hack into it. Protecting yourself is actually easier than you think. The National Security Agency says turning your cell phone on and off, not always a foolproof way to avoid getting hacked, but it certainly helps make it more difficult for cyber criminals to gain access to your personal and financial information. And for an added layer of protection, the NSA says you should also focus on managing your apps.
When you're done with one, you're not going to use it anymore. Uninstall it, because by doing that, you keep your attack surface more bounded.
Experts say you should reboot your phone at least once a week to make sure it's safe. A new scam alert from the Better Business Bureau. They are warning drivers of persuasive strangers claiming to fix dents in your car. The BBB scam tracker says they've received reports of people approached while getting in or out of their car. The person will tell you they notice dents on your car, and it just so happens that they work at a body shop and can fix them for you at a cheap price. If you agree to the repairs, you might end up with a ruined car exterior, leaving you with a big bill and a damaged car.
I'm up for outdoor activities just about any day. Today, you might want to think twice, though. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Not because it's too hot out there for the guys to play baseball there. The DBAP is empty today, though.
It is. I think they're playing someplace else. You do not have a home game today. 87 degrees there, but clear skies. I mean, it looks beautiful until you step outside, and then, it is warm. And we had some lower humidity this morning, but we've seen a little more humidity creeping back in this afternoon. 84 degrees there in Goldsboro. And of course, it is it's sunny there. It's only, 70 something degrees on the golf course with very low humidity. Right. You never know it. There are a lot of people out there at Longleaf Golf and Family Club. 87 degrees with a dew point in the mid 90s right now. We climb to 95 for today and tomorrow with a heat index up around 104, 105, and then 87 on Saturday. And we'll notice a big drop in our humidity. So we get through today and tomorrow and then things improve dramatically. But don't forget, this time of year, and it doesn't even have to be as hot as it is right now. We'll start with a 90 degree temperature. When it's 90 degrees outside, the inside of your car with the windows rolled up and the doors closed in 10 minutes feels like 109. So at 95, like we'll see this afternoon, it'll feel like around 120 just in 10 minutes. So just make it a habit, when you're getting out of your car, turn around and look, make sure there are no kids, no pets in your back seat before you head off to where you're going. Look at this dew point, 76 in Durham and Raleigh, as well as Goldsboro. This morning, our dew point was almost 10 degrees below that, meaning it wasn't nearly as muggy. But we've seen a lot of moisture streaming in from the southwest this afternoon. 77 in Clinton, 74 in Fayetteville, 76 in Southern Pines. Those are pretty high numbers in terms of our humidity. So that's why we're looking at a heat index around, say, 103, 104 this afternoon. We take a look at our dew points for tomorrow. So we get into the morning, likely to be around 69 or so, climbing to around 70 in the afternoon. But as our cold front slides southward during the day Saturday, we're going to see our dew points in the 50s. That is a rare treat in the summer, so we're going to enjoy that definitely. But Sunday, we'll see our cold front kind of sneaking back to the north a little bit. More moisture comes back up from the south, and it will feel a lot more humid. So today and tomorrow feeling steamy, which is the second from the top level. Saturday is one level below that, feeling pretty tolerable, even with some 60s maybe. We'll give it 60s. And then on Sunday, we're back to tropical, and it may feel pretty tropical into next week, but we're looking at some cooler temperatures, not only over the weekend, but into next week too, maybe all the way through August the 6th. We can see below normal temperatures, which is going to feel nice. 91 is our normal high. So, you know, anything below 91, though, is below normal. But it does look like we'll end up being fairly cool. Saturday, 87. We get into the mid-80s on Monday and continue to fall from there all the way down into the low 80s on Tuesday and Wednesday. At that point, we're going to see a bit more rain, some scattered showers and thunderstorms, 40 to 50%. You know, this time of year, it's always a trade-off, rainy and cooler or sunny and hotter.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Full horsepower on the highway.
We were lucky there's enough cowboys in town.
We're lucky it was all caught on camera, how these runaway horses were all corralled. And now look at your Powerball numbers, 25, 30, 53, 59, 60, and the Powerball is 5, the Power Play 3.
A unique discovery at a South Carolina state park, a two-headed baby turtle. The discovery happening on Edisto Beach State Park. Park officials saying the two-headed turtle is likely a result of a genetic mutation. Other two-headed turtles have been found in this area before, but this discovery was a first for this particular Sea Turtle Patrol group.
And from that to horsepower on the highway, and we mean this literally, a group of horses got spooked and ran away from a rodeo in Eagle, Colorado, and ended up out there on I-70 with a gaggle of police and cowboys behind them. State Patrol managed to block traffic on the east and west ends and community members in town. Those cowboys helped corral the runaway horses. Troopers say they were just lucky there were enough cowboys in town to help. Today, our pet of the day comes to us from the Wake County SPCA. This is Stormy. We want to give you a look at Stormy. She's a four-month-old puppy with soulful eyes. She is spayed and weighs around 20 pounds. There she is. Stormy was rescued after she was left in a crate on the doorstep of a church. She likes all kinds of people, including children, young and old. At her age, the SPCA believes she could be socialized with cats and other dogs successfully. Stormy's adoption fee is $250. If you're interested in taking her to a loving home, call the SPCA of Wake County.
Here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Governor Cooper and the state task force will hold a briefing today. It comes as coronavirus cases surge in North Carolina and the CDC revises guidance on masks. That will be at 3 p.m. We will carry the briefing live on Fox 50 and on our digital platforms. This afternoon, President Biden will also outline new rules to stop the spread of COVID-19. He's expected to require vaccinations for everyone who works for the federal government. Those who don't get vaccinated will be tested weekly, must wear masks, and will face travel restrictions. The president is not expected to require members of the military to get vaccinated. He'll talk about it at 4 p.m.
And we'll continue to follow those developing headlines and more on WRAL News when we return at 4 o'clock here on Fox 50.
You can also get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Have a great day, everybody.